Chapter 14.
One is born with a unique set of talents and abilities. One must choose which of those talents to nurture, which to set aside for a time, which to ignore completely. Sometimes the choice is obvious. Other times, the hints and proddings are more obscure. Then one may need to undergo several regimens of training and sample several different professions before determining where one's strongest talents lie. This is the driving force behind many life path alterations. There are few sets of skills that match only one specific job. More often, they are adaptable to many different professions. Sometimes one can plan such a change. Other times the change appears without warning. In both instances, one must be alert and carefully consider all options. Not every change is a step forward.
It had been a hard day, full of desperate and petty people with desperate and petty problems. By all rights, Arinda should be exhausted. At the same time, it had been a resoundingly successful day, with solutions for nearly all those problems and gushings of heartfelt gratitude. By all rights, she should be ecstatic. She was trying to decide which feeling would dominate her evening and anticipating the start of that evening when there was a warning beep from the outer door. She glanced at the chrono, suppressing a sigh. Technically, the office still had 2 minutes to go. Realistically, none of today's problems had been solved in less than 20. Her evening was evidently going to start later than she'd hoped. But this was her job, and she was good at it. And there wasn't anything better for 10 kilometers in any direction, including up or down. So, however long this took...
Hey, stranger,
Juihira said cheerfully as she walked through the inner door.
How are you doing?
Juihira,
Arinda all but gasped, feeling her face light up in a smile.
I'm fine. What are you doing in the pricey end of the planet?
Oh, this is the pricey end, is it? Driller asked, walking in behind her. Hey, at least you make enough to actually live here.
Just barely,
Arinda said, feeling her smile grow a little brighter. Driller had dropped in on the office a couple of times before his uncle came back to reclaim his apartment, but she hadn't seen him since. As for Juihira, she'd come by only once, and that had been nearly 6 months ago. They'd talked a few times on the comm, though, and Juihira had a standing invitation to tour the Federal District if she ever found the time to come to this side of the planet. Apparently, she just had.
It's great to see both of you,
Arinda said, coming around her desk and giving each of them a quick hug.
How long are you going to be here? Do you have plans for the evening? I'm off duty in about a minute and a half.
You sure they can do without you?
Driller asked, looking pointedly at the line of empty desks. Or did the supervisor decide you were so good they didn't need anyone else?
No. We're still a fully staffed and thoroughly overworked office,
Arinda said.
Everyone else just happened to have evening plans, and I volunteered to do the last half hour alone.
Well, that's not fair, Juihira said with mock outrage. Serve them right if someone came in here and swept you off your feet.
It's not so bad, Arinda said. Actually, I do my best work when I'm alone.
You like the extra pressure? Driller asked.
I like the lack of witnesses.
He gave her a sideways look.
You're kidding, right?
Arinda shrugged.
You'd be amazed how far a little insinuation will get you with an apartment owner.
What kind of insinuation?
Juihira asked.
Hints that you know what she did last night, Arinda said. Or last month, or last year. Throw out a few vague comments, and most people will fill in the rest. Once they do, they're a lot more open to settling the problem the tenant is having.
Assuming they have some hidden dirt to fill in, Juahir pointed out.
Everyone has hidden dirt,
Orinda said.
You never said how long you would be here.
You never answered my comment about someone sweeping you off your feet, Juahir countered.
I thought you were joking,
Orinda said, aware of the permanent hollow spot in the core of her being. She'd met many men over the past year, some of whom had tried to befriend or romance her. She'd tried with a few of them. Really, really tried. But nothing had worked out. Nor had she met anyone, man or woman, whom she could call a friend. In her line of work, everyone she encountered started by thinking of her as a helper, champion, or even mother figure. None of those was a good basis for a balanced emotional connection.
I never joke about food, Juahir said solemnly.
We're hungry, and we bet you are too, so shut this place down and let's go.
I'm with you,
Orinda said, starting her computer's lockdown procedure.
Fair warning, I can't afford to take you anywhere near as fancy as the Alessandre Hotel this time around.
Don't worry, we've got it covered,
Juahir said with an impish smile.
We already have reservations.
At the Alessandre? Seriously?
No.
Juahir pointed upward.
At the Pinnacle.
Orinda felt her eyes widen.
The Pinnacle? You're joking.
Nope,
Juahir said, grinning even more broadly.
You game?
Sure.
Orinda looked down at her clothing.
In that case, I need to change.
No problem, Juahir said.
We budgeted time for that.
The Pinnacle wasn't the highest point on Coruscant, but it was the highest point in the Federal District, and it provided magnificent views of the palace, the Senate building, and the various ministries and monuments clustered around them. The clientele matched the view. Every third table, it seemed, sported a face Orinda remembered from her days working for Senator Ranking. It was exhilarating, but at the same time it was vaguely depressing. She'd come to Coruscant to gain connections and influence and to work her way up the political ladder. Instead, she'd ended up stuck, barely a few rungs from the bottom. And as she gazed across the room, and up the ladder looming mockingly over her, her one-time goal of regaining Price Mining faded ever more into the mists of never. But the food was good enough to almost drive away the wistful pangs of resentment at how she'd been treated. Once or twice along the way, she wondered how Juahir and Driller were paying for all this. But what with the excitement, the memories, and the sheer taste sensations, she didn't wonder very much or very hard.
So, how does it feel being back in the Skylands of Power?
Juahir asked as the waiter delivered their dessert plates.
Very nice, Orinda said. I thought I'd put all this behind me, but there really is a lure to it all.
So if you could come back to this life, you would?
Orinda gave a little snort.
What, is Senator Ranking hiring?
Probably not.
Juahir nodded sideways to Driller.
But Driller is.
Orinda frowned at him.
Really? For what?
For a position with my advocacy group, he said.
You do remember that's what I do, right?
Of course,
Orinda said.
I just assumed that people like you were on a hookstring budget. You're really hiring?
We really are, he said, nodding.
And you didn't snatch it up?
Orinda asked, looking at Juahir.
Whatever it is has to be 100 steps up from waitressing at Topples.
I'm not waitressing anymore,
Juahir said, frowning.
You know that.
I dusted off my old martial arts stuff and got into bodyguard training, remember?
Since when?
Orinda asked, frowning right back.
Juahir had sometimes talked about her school-age hand-to-hand combat work, but she'd never even hinted she might want to do that sort of thing professionally.
"Since about 4 months after you moved here from Bash 4,
Juahir said,
"I started part-time with a little dojo 400 levels down from my apartment. And when a full-time position opened up..." "Look, I told you all this."
"You most certainly did not," Arinda said.
"But..."
Juahir looked entreatingly at Driller.
"Hey, don't look at me," he said quickly. "You told me you told her."
"I'm so sorry, Arinda,"
Juahir said, wincing.
"I would have sworn... Anyway, I've moved over here and have a job at the Yin Cham Dojo now. We do civilian training, but we're also licensed to train government bodyguards. We've got a handful of guards from the Senate with some good word of mouth bringing in new ones."
"There are 130 levels down from your office, but thinking of looking for someplace higher," Driller added.
"Pluses and minuses," Juahir said. "The lower levels are more discreet for aides and assistants whose senators want them to double as bodyguards, but don't want the whole world to know they've been training. The higher levels are more prestigious and might draw more people who are supposed to look like guards."
"And are more expensive," Driller murmured.
"A lot more expensive,"
Juahir agreed, crinkling her nose.
"Anyway, to get back to your original question, that's one reason Driller didn't offer me the job."
Arinda had almost forgotten that was where this conversation had started.
"And the other reason?"
"We're looking for an expert in mines, mining and refining," Driller said. "Juahir doesn't know the first thing about that stuff, while you know the first thing, the last thing, and all the things in between."
"I wouldn't go that far,"
Arinda said modestly, her mind racing. Working for an advocacy group wasn't a huge step up, status-wise, but it would once again take her into the centers of political power. That alone made it worth pursuing. Not to mention it would get her away from desperate citizens and their desperate problems.
"The downside of the job is that it doesn't come with an apartment like your assistant's office job does,"
Driller continued.
"But Joey here's got a decent-sized place. It's closer to the Senate building, and she's already told me she'd love a roommate."
"Absolutely,"
Jua here confirmed.
"You have no idea how many times I've collapsed onto the couch, every muscle aching, and wished there was someone there to make dinner without me having to move."
"I'm pretty good with dinner,"
Arinda said with a shrug. In politics, she'd learned it never paid to look too eager.
"And I'm definitely ready to move on to something else. Where and when do I apply for the job?"
"You just did," Driller said with a grin. "Seriously, I've already floated your name, and the rest of the group has already vetted you. If you want the job, it's yours."
Arinda took a deep breath.
"The hell with not looking too eager. I want the job."
"Great!"
Driller picked up his dessert, frowning a little at Juahir.
"So, is it proper etiquette to toast a momentous event with a dessert plate?"
"I don't know,"
Juahir said, picking up her own plate.
"Let's find out."
And just like that, Arinda was back. It was like waking up from a bad dream. Suddenly, she was among the elite again, walking the ornate hallways of the Senate and office buildings, speaking to the people who ruled the empire. Not just speaking either, but actually being listened to. Back when she'd been delivering data card packets for Senator Ranking, most of the recipients had barely noticed her. But licensed advocacy groups had prestige, if not any actual power, and they were noticed. Now suddenly, it seemed like everyone knew her face and her advocacy group. Some of them even remembered her name. Arinda had survived the lower levels of the federal district, but up here, where the sun shone and the brightest lights glittered, was where she wanted to be. She was back, and she would never leave it. Ever.
Whatever it took to stay in the Sky Lanes of Power, she would do it.
Okay, Driller said, sitting Arinda down in front of the Higher Skies Advocacy Group's main computer. Last job of the day, I promise.
You promised that two jobs ago,
she reminded him.
Who, me?
He said, looking innocent.
I know. What can I say? You're the mining expert. That means you get all the mining expert jobs. Right,
Arinda agreed. It wasn't like anyone else could do it, after all. Mainly because there never seemed to be anyone else around. At first, she puzzled about that. Driller had explained that most of the time the other members were out of the office, talking to senators or aides, visiting the various ministries, or traveling off-planet to talk with governors or moffs, or just gather first-hand information. He'd also reminded Arinda that she herself was often out of the office, and suggested that it was simple bad luck that she'd missed crossing paths with any of the others. It was a lie, of course. Arinda had figured that out very early on. Either the rest of the staff was off doing nefarious things, or else there was no other staff. But she didn't care. Driller paid on time, and he had enough spare credits to keep her in outfits suitable for the rarefied company she kept these days. More important, his license continued to give her access to the Empire's powerful. Ultimately, that was all that mattered.
So, here's what we need,
Driller said, reaching over her shoulder and tapping a few keys.
There seems to have been an unusual number of Imperial takeovers lately, mining facilities and sometimes whole planets. I want you to pull up the list and evaluate it for the importance of the mines in question, the circumstances of the Imperial takeover, and anything else that might establish a pattern as to what's going on.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Arinda asked.
Your face went all puckered just then,
Driller said.
Is there a problem?
No,
Arinda said. She hadn't realized she'd reacted.
Sorry, I was just thinking about the Empire taking over our family's mine 3 years ago.
Oh, sorry. I'd forgotten about that.
Driller apologized.
If it's too uncomfortable for you to do this...
No, I'm fine,
Arinda assured him.
Okay, he said. And don't feel like you have to finish tonight. I've got a late appointment. You okay with closing up alone?
Sure,
Arinda said. The apartment she shared with Jua here was 200 levels down and not in the best part of the district, but the rowdies usually didn't come out into the walkways and platforms until the sunlight had faded from the bits of clear sky above. At this time of year, that was a good 2 hours away.
Enjoy.
Right, he said dryly. A meeting with a Senate doorkeeper? It's going to be so much fun.
He headed out, locking the door behind him, and Arinda settled in to read. She had assumed Driller was imagining things, seeing patterns and conspiracies that turned out to be figments of his overblown imagination. He had a tendency to do that.
But in this case, he was right on the mark.
There were 28 mines on the list. 28 Imperial takeovers dating back to a year before Ranking had ripped price mining out of Arinda's hands. The majority of them, though, 21 to be precise, had occurred during the past year. She dug through the list, scanning the basic elements, occasionally digging into or at least skimming the accompanying subfiles, looking for common threads. She reached the entry on the most recent event, an attack on an Imperial task force off Umbara. She paused, frowning, as one of the names in the report caught her eye.
Captain Thrawn? No,
she murmured under her breath. Surely it couldn't be the same blue-skinned non-human she'd met at the Alessandra Hotel a year ago. That Thrawn had been a lieutenant, and this one was a captain. And she'd heard somewhere that it typically took 10 to 15 years in the Navy to ladder that far up the ranks.
But it was him, all right.
There was a subfile attached, giving the details of the battle, and the accompanying images left no doubt. The lowly lieutenant that Colonel Ularin had been trying to rescue had leapt to command rank in less than 2 years. Mentally, she shook her head. Either he was amazingly competent, or he had impressively powerful friends. Interesting. But not her concern. Putting him out of her mind, she got back to work. Focused on her analysis, she didn't notice the time slipping away. And it was a shock when she looked at the chrono and realized the sun had been down for over half an hour. The rowdies would be starting to gather. But the trip back to her apartment should still be safe, if she hurried. She closed down the computer system and headed out, locking the door behind her. The faint daylight from overhead had long since vanished, but the increased intensity from the street lamps and brassy advertising signs more than made up for it. Still, the lack of sun somehow created a psychological illusion of darkness. Up here, where the police were vigilant, things were all right. But in the lower parts of the district, the rowdies would be gathering to drink, spice up, and make noise. Some of them, eventually, would also start making trouble. The turbolift car, when it arrived, was packed. The next car might be more comfortable, but Arinda wasn't in the mood to wait. Fortunately, the passengers began filing out almost immediately as the car stopped at the more elite residence levels, just below the government offices. 20 levels above hers, her last companion got out, leaving her alone. Not an ideal situation. Certainly not at this hour and this deep. But she should be all right. And as long as she had the car to herself, she might as well take advantage of the unexpected privacy. Pulling out her comm, she keyed for Juahir.
Hey!
Juahir answered cheerfully.
What's up? You got dinner going?
Not exactly, Arinda said. I got tied up at the office and I'm just heading home now.
Oh,
Juahir said, her voice going serious.
You okay? Where are you?
In the turbo lift heading down,
Arinda said, watching the indicator.
I'm almost... She broke off, her breath catching in her throat. The car had reached her level, but instead of stopping, it continued moving down. Juahir, it didn't stop,
Arinda said, fighting to keep her voice even. Belatedly, she lunged for the control board and punched the next button down.
Too late. The car had already passed that level. She tried again, picking a button 10 levels farther down this time. Again, the car reached the landing and continued on without stopping.
Arinda? Arinda?
It's not stopping,
Arinda ground out. This time, she ran her finger down the whole column of buttons. The car ignored all of them, and it was picking up speed.
Juahir, I can't stop it, she said. It's heading down and I can't stop it.
Okay, don't panic,
Juahir said firmly.
There's an emergency stop button. You see it?
Yes,
Arinda said. It was at the very bottom of the panel, protected by a faded orange cover. After years of uneventful travel, she'd forgotten it was even there. She flipped up the cover, revealing a less faded orange button underneath, and pressed it. And grabbed for the handrail as the car screeched to a sudden halt.
For a moment, all was silence.
Arinda?
Juahir called tentatively.
Arinda found her voice.
I'm okay, she said. It stopped, finally.
Where are you?
Arinda peered at the indicator.
Level 4120.
Juahir whistled softly.
1,000 from the top. Okay, you took your usual turbo lift, right?
Right.
The car doors slid open. Cautiously, Arinda peered outside. She'd never been this far down before, but it looked exactly the way the vids and hollows portrayed it. Garish display signs blazed everywhere.
much brighter and more strident than the ones higher up, promoting shops or advertising products, or flickering with the visual static of malfunction or unpaid bills. Contrasting with the bright colors was the stolid, faded white of the street lamps, about three-quarters of them working. The rest, struggling to maintain illumination, were gone completely dark. The walkways beneath the lights, like the lights themselves, were mostly fine, but there were enough broken and missing tiles to emphasize that she was no longer in the city's upper levels. The building fronts behind the signs ran the gamut from carefully maintained and almost cheerful to struggling and faded, to dilapidated and slum-like. And everything, even the bravely painted storefronts, seemed dirty. And then there were the people. There weren't many pedestrians on the walkways right now. Most of them were traveling in groups of three or more, as if no one wanted or dared to be alone. And all of them were walking in the odd gait of people who wanted to hurry, but didn't want to look like they were hurrying. Like the buildings and the walkways, the people also seemed dirty.
Okay.
Juahir's voice came from the comm.
You're going to have to move. That turbolift's obviously broken, and you don't want to wait there until someone comes to fix it. There's another turbolift about six blocks to the west. Can you see the sign?
Arinda squinted down the walkway, but the turbolift indicator sign, if it was even theoretically visible from this angle, was completely swallowed up by the glare of the display signs.
No, but I can get there.
Okay, go,
Juahir ordered.
We're on our way. We'll try to meet you before you get there.
Arinda frowned.
We? Is Driller with you?
Just get moving. Hide your comm. It'll tag you as top class, and you don't want that. And be careful.
I will.
Keying off, Arinda tucked her comm back into her pocket. She took a final look around, then headed down the walkway, trying to match the not-hurrying pace of the others. It wasn't too bad, actually. The people were rough-edged and a little on the skittish side, and she had no doubt they were both willing and able to engage in rough stuff if the mood struck them. But back in Bash 4, she'd learned tricks of expression and body language that made people think twice before engaging with her. Luckily, the pattern here seemed to be the same as it had back there. The handful of people who got close enough to get a good look at her passed by without comment and without slowing. She'd made it four blocks and could finally see the turbolift indicator sign when it all fell apart. They came without warning. Six of them, gangly youths hopped on spice or something worse, boiling out of a pair of dark doorways between two broken lights. Two of them carried long chains. The other four had short blades held casually in their hands.
Hey, sweets!
One of the chain carriers called.
Looking for some fun?
Arinda threw a quick look over her shoulder. Two more thugs had emerged from concealment behind her. With a sinking feeling, she realized she was trapped. To her left were the windows and doorways of small businesses already shut for the night. To her right was a 2-meter-high railing between the walkway and a sheer drop of at least 20 levels before she even hit anything solid.
Not interested, thanks,
she called back, trying to keep her voice steady. She'd tussled with friends when she was growing up, and had had to deal with the occasional drunk or spicehead back on Lothal, but she'd never faced anything like this. She could call the police, but they were spread all over the district, and the thugs were right here. Trouble would reach her long before any help could. She could turn and run, and hope she could somehow get past the two men behind her. But there was nothing back there but unfamiliar walkways and a broken turbo lift.
Aw, don't be like that,
the thug said, mock sweetly.
You want a drink? Sure you do. So do we. You can buy us all one. You got money, right?
Orinda felt her stomach tighten into a knot. What the hell was she going to do? Behind the six thugs, a man and woman had come into view, striding toward the confrontation through the shadows of another pair of broken street lamps. Orinda watched them, feeling a surge of hope. This was her chance. If the couple got too close before they realized what was happening, she might be able to point the thugs in that direction and get away while they were occupied with more interesting prey. Too late. The man came to a stop 10 meters behind the thugs as he apparently spotted the trouble. If he and the woman turned and ran right now, they'd probably make it back to the turbo lift before the rowdies could catch them. Except that the woman hadn't stopped when her companion did. She was still walking toward the thugs as if she didn't even see them. Orinda braced herself. The thug's spokesman must have heard the approaching footsteps. He started to turn as the woman reached him. Without even pausing, the woman snapped her leg up, jabbing the edge of her foot into the back of his knee. The leg collapsed beneath him. He got one hand on the pavement, howling in rage and pain as he flailed for balance. His cursing abruptly cut off as the woman slammed the back of her fist into the side of his neck. He collapsed to the walkway and lay still. For a single second, the other thugs froze, gaping in bewilderment. The woman didn't give them time to recover from their shock. Even as her first target fell, she snatched the chain from his nerveless fingers and threw it at the heads of the three youths on her right. Two of them managed to dodge. The third caught the chain squarely across his throat and dropped with a tortured gurgle as the chain rattled onto the pavement beside him. The woman spun to face the two standing on her left, but the gang had had enough. The four still on their feet took off at top speed, sprinting past Orinda on either side without even a glance. Orinda spun around as they passed, saw that the two who'd been behind her were already tearing into the garish lights of the night.
You all right?
Orinda turned back, feeling her jaw drop. Juhir?
Yeah, hi. You okay?
Juhir gripped Orinda's shoulder, looking her up and down.
Did they get to you?
No, Orinda managed. The man Juhir had been walking with had finally come unglued from the walkway and was walking toward them.
You surprised me.
I said we were coming,
Juhir reminded her, waving her companion forward.
Orinda Price, meet Atlas Doss. Atlas is a bodyguard who's been taking some extra hand-to-hand classes at the dojo. We just finished our session and were heading home when I got your call. He offered to come along in case I needed him.
I guess you didn't,
Orinda said, eyeing the man closely. He didn't look much like a bodyguard.
Nope,
Juhir said.
And before you ask, he let me take them on by myself because I told him to. He's a government employee. If he beats someone down, there's a massive data work he has to fill out.
Assuming the victims file a complaint,
Orinda murmured.
Well, there's that,
Juhir conceded.
Regardless, as a private citizen, all I have to do is claim self-defense or defense of others, and I walk.
Nice when the law works on the side of the people.
You mean for a change? Atlas asked. His voice was smooth and resonant, pleasant and almost cheerful. Again, not the kind of voice Orinda would expect from a man who beat people bloody for a living.
That's not what I said,
Orinda protested.
It's okay. Atlas has no illusions as to how imperial law is stacked,
Juhir said.
He works for... Well, actually, he's not supposed to talk about his job or employer. Sorry.
Not a problem,
Orinda said, taking a second look. That kind of mandated silence usually implied someone very high up the political ladder lurking behind the curtain. This Atlas character might be worth cultivating.
We should get moving now, don't you think?
Absolutely,
Juhir said.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready now,
Arinda said. She took a step and found herself fighting unexpectedly for balance as one leg tried to collapse beneath her.
Whoa,
Juahir said, catching her arm.
Let me help. Thanks,
Arinda said, her face heating with embarrassment.
I'm not scared, you know. Just shaking.
Don't worry. It happens to everyone,
Juahir said, peering closely at her. Adrenaline and delayed shock.
You ever think about taking some self-defense training?
I've thought about it a lot,
Arinda assured her as they started walking toward the turbo lift.
Mostly in the past 3 minutes. How much does your dojo charge?
Unfortunately, we're totally booked at the moment,
Juahir said, wrinkling her nose in thought.
We might be able to refer you to...
She broke off and looked at Atlas, who'd taken up position on Arinda's other side.
What about you? Would you be willing to give Arinda an hour's training before or after your classes? We could work out a discount.
I couldn't ask you to do that,
Arinda protested.
Juahir, stop it. You're embarrassing him.
Not at all, Atlas said, inclining his head to her. I'd be delighted to give you some instruction. It's been said that a man never truly understands a subject until he teaches it.
But do you even have the time?
Arinda pressed.
Juahir said you were someone's bodyguard.
Yes, but at the moment I'm just helping guard an empty office suite, Atlas said. My employer won't be arriving for his next visit for at least 6 more weeks. More than enough time to instruct you in the basics. He smiled, almost shyly. And perhaps a bit more.
Arinda looked back at Juahir. There was an oddly innocent expression on the other woman's face. Was this maybe not just about self-defense training? And suddenly, Arinda realized she didn't care. She could really use another friend in this city. If Juahir wanted to play matchmaker, more power to her.
Okay, you've got yourself a deal, she said. Both of you,
she added, looking back and forth between them.
On one condition.
Which is?
Atlas asked.
I get to take you out to dinner tonight,
Arinda said.
Both of you.